We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This hour is brought to you by Feldman Surveyors.
This is WEEI Late Night.
I appreciate Philly when they announced our starting lineup. They did the "You Suck" chant. It made it feel a little bit more like Philly. I missed all those people behind me, you know, wishing me happy holidays in their own special way.
Look, all the external things that we can't control, there's no point in worrying about those. We're going to focus on our preparations for Miami.
What are the chances that Jake Paul ever fights Conor McGregor?
Zero. I am a huge Boston Celtics fan, okay? I love Nate. Nate's awesome, okay? Have you ever seen basketball fights? Have you ever seen when fights break out in the basketball court? Some of the fights you'll ever see in your life, okay?
You're looking down on somebody because they want to talk to you about basketball. Then essentially, you're lamenting the job that you signed on to produce.
All right, welcome into WEEI Late Night 93.7. My name is Mark Dondero. I am with you until 1 a.m. We have a lot to get to tonight, a lot I want to talk about. We're going to talk about the Boston Celtics and their first preseason game last night. I want to talk about what I think this Celtics team will look like this season, what I liked about last night. Now, look, this is the preseason. I don't take a lot away from the preseason. But I have some thoughts on the Boston Celtics from last night and what I think a successful season for them will look like this year. We're going to get into that. Look, I haven't thought much about the Boston Red Sox in a long time, like 4 months. But if you want to talk baseball, we can do that. We can open up the phone lines in a bit. We'll talk about the Red Sox and what they got going on. We can talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. We can talk about what Scott Boras had to say. The season being pushed back. In fact, I really don't want to talk about owners v. players, but if you want to, I guess we can. But let's start off with, I should also mention Christmas, the holidays are on the table. I'm a big holiday guy. Freaking jolly. So that's that. You should know that about me. But let's get into the New England Patriots. That's where I want to start. The New England Patriots, you know, they had a season this year that I wasn't all that big of a fan of, obviously, like everybody here. In fact, this season disappointed me. This season was something that I thought was going to be no worse than 2008 with Matt Castle. And obviously, this isn't 2008. Obviously, Matt Castle and that team, you know, that team was coming off of an undefeated season. And that team was really good. And they beat up on a lot of bad teams in 2008. They went 11-5. You know the story. They didn't make the playoffs. But this year, with Cam Newton coming in, I thought they were going to be at worst a 10-win team. I might have thought about 9-7 at one point, which is still on the table, as you know, but I thought at worst they would be a 10-win team and they would get to the playoffs. Now, I knew the Super Bowl was going to be a challenge, and I don't want to admit that at one point, once upon a time, I thought they might have been possibly, maybe after the Seattle game, possibly a Super Bowl team, maybe. You know, obviously things got derailed from there. But this team I thought would be at least a double-digit win team, and they aren't. They're not, you know, they're not going to be that. And things went awry. The defense wasn't nearly as good as I thought. The secondary, which I thought could have been the best in the NFL, wasn't that. Okay, they struggled. They sucked in Seattle. They were awful. Stephon Gilmore, who was obviously going to take a step down after last year, didn't have a great year. I know the numbers, you know, back him or whatever. He didn't have a great year. And the step down was significant. But there were too many things that happened this year that annoyed me. So I was bothered week in and week out. And I didn't enjoy necessarily these big games in week 6 You know, I wasn't about that life. I was enjoying the AFC Championship every year. But then I started to think. Okay, I started to think about things. And I thought, you know, what could have happened this year that would have changed the situation? You know, because Tom Brady left. So I didn't know if you kept Tom Brady. You know, I was a guy that wanted to keep Tom Brady, and I wanted to go all in, kind of what Tampa did, go all in with Tom Brady. But that's, you know, obviously not what happened. So I'm thinking, what could have been different? And the answer is, you know what? Honestly, I don't know what else could have been different. I think this team was destined to be this way this year regardless, because I don't know what you would have done. And that made me feel a little bit better, a little bit. Maybe not much better, but a little bit. Because here's the thing. You bring in Cam Newton, okay? Cam Newton, whatever. He was available for a long time, 31 years old, former MVP, injury history. We didn't know what he was going to be, and he was bad. He's been bad this year. Okay, great in the locker room, but he has been bad. You bring him in, that doesn't work out. So if you don't bring him in, what else could you do? You bring in Jared Stidham, you play him. That's what I thought they were going to do. But that guy couldn't even get on the field in Kansas City when Newton was down with COVID, and they put in Brian Hoyer, and Hoyer, in a spot where the backup quarterback is just asked to not screw it up, couldn't have screwed it up worse. Okay, and Stidham couldn't really beat him out. So that wasn't going to happen. So then what else do you do? You bring back Tom Brady. Was that the option? Because Tom Brady, with weapons galore in Tampa, has looked average. Their record against good teams sucks. They beat up on the bad teams. They've had some good games. But he struggled with the weapons down there. And he's had weapons, you know, he has all the more weapons than you could ask for. Too many weapons. So if you put him, if you bring him back, he's not doing much better than the Patriots quarterbacks have done this year. Probably a little, not much. So there's that answer. Who else are you going to get? Andy Dalton, 2 years older than Newton, $2 million expensive, more expensive. I mean, that wasn't a viable option. The defense, the COVID opt-outs, the different things that happened in season, the lack of practice time, you know, all these different circumstances that really derailed the Patriots. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think they were going to derail the Patriots as much as they did, but they did. So that made me feel a little bit better, I guess. It was going to be this way. It just was time. You know, they were trending in the wrong direction last year, despite the fact that the defense, the boogeymen early on, it just was time, I guess, for this to happen. And that brings me to this article that I read on this website today. Okay, and I think Mutt talked about it, you know, in the last hour or so. But I'm coming in and I'm trying to, you know, let's prepare for the show and let's read about stuff. And, you know, Gary Tangway, who I didn't even know wrote for this website. And I miss Gary Tangway, okay? I'm a big fan. I grew up watching Gary Tangway. But Gary Tangway came out with an article today. And this is the point I wanted to make to start this show. Bill Belichick is the right person to bring this team back to where you want to go. He's the right person for this rebuild. And Gary Tangway is wrong. Gary Tangway's article was garbage. And I respect Gary Tangway, but the article was garbage. The opinion is something I disagree with wholeheartedly. Okay, because in this article, you know, he makes a lot of references. And he talks about how Belichick wasn't the guy, you know, that brought in the guys that initially won the Super Bowl in 2001. He wasn't that guy. And I, you know, if you're going to argue that Bill Belichick shouldn't be the guy that executes the rebuild, if you're going to make that argument, okay, you got to come at me with a name. I need an idea. Don't just tell me he's not the guy, okay? Because in my mind, that's ridiculous enough. But you got to come at me with a name. Who? Who's going to do it then? Okay, this is a hard enough situation. Who's going to do it if Bill Belichick isn't going to do it? Building an NFL franchise, especially when you're looking at where the bar was for the Patriots, who's going to do it if it's not going to be Bill Belichick? Well, Gary Tangway in the article, he has a name. Okay? The guy's name, and this guy's an 81-year-old person. He's an 81-year-old man. And obviously he's not serious, Gary, in the article. But the guy's name is, what was his name? Charlie Army? Was that his name? Charlie Army. Yeah. Now, I've never heard of Charlie. I've heard of the Army. I've heard of Red's Army. Charlie Army, I've never heard of. But he's got an illustrious career as a scout. But I can't get on board with this. This was just You can't come at me with Charlie Army. Because Charlie Army, I get it. He was here with Bill Parcells and he helped, you know, create the foundation. And as Gary says in the article, the foundation of a team when Army then left New England, went to the Rams, the foundation of a team who would then beat the Rams in the Super Bowl in 2001. So he says, Charlie Army, he ends the article talking about how Charlie Army, unless Bill is willing to bring back 81-year-old Charlie Army, there's nothing to see here. They need somebody different. He ends it. That ain't happening. It's time to find something new. Quote, end quote. Charlie Army. So Charlie Army was a scout, and then he eventually ascended, okay, to the GM role in St. Louis with the Rams. 2000 to 2005. You know who his first round picks were between 2000 and 2005? Okay. Trung Candidate. Now, I remember him. Fun name. Trung Candidate, running back, 2000. Then in 2001, Damian Lewis, Adam Archuleta, who I've heard of, and Ryan Pickett. Now, again, this is Charlie Army drafting in St. Louis. 2002, Robert Thomas. 2003, Jimmy Kennedy. 2004, he hit with Steven Jackson. 2005, Alex Barron, who, when I read up on him, he said he was the king of false starts. Charlie Army. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick in 2000, he had no pick. 2001, Richard Seymour. And it goes on, Daniel Graham, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, Benjamin Watson, Logan Mankins. Now, look, Charlie Army might have been a scout. He didn't have total authority in terms of who they drafted in those years. Bill Parcells was here, and he wasn't the GM in St. Louis in the late 90s when they were building the greatest show on turf. Bill Belichick is the guy for the rebuild. Let's not overcomplicate this. Now, has he messed up? Yes. You know, has he made mistakes? Yes, he's made mistakes. The roster this year wasn't good. Has he not drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013? No, he hasn't. But this guy has done a lot of things as a GM that have been positive. And he's been drafting. He's had a few years where he hasn't had a first round pick. He's had a few years where he's traded out of the first round, which makes me want to spit. He's had a few years that he missed, but, he hasn't. Other teams, the Miami Dolphins, who Tommy Curran wrote an article today talking about how they've, they sucked and they kind of paid their dues sucking and they've battled back and now they're where the Patriots want to be. That's great. But they've been drafting in the top five. The Patriots haven't drafted in the top five in my life. Or I shouldn't say that, Drew Bledsoe. In my, what I can remember, the last 20 whatever years. They haven't drafted that high up. So if they did, and if they start to suck that bad, Bill Belichick, my guess is I would trust him, especially in the first round, high first round, drafting defensive players especially. Now, I get it. There's issues. There's things that he hasn't done. Bill Belichick, he hasn't really been in this situation because everything that Bill Belichick, not everything he's accomplished, obviously, but a lot of what he's accomplished, the genius, the Patriot way, basically his legacy in New England is predicated off of everything he's done with money. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying back there? Dylan, my producer I've met tonight. Nice to meet you, man. You don't have to talk. But everything that he's done, more money, more problems. Biggie Smalls, 1997 with Puffy. Great song. Everything he's done, really, everything he's known for, all the genius moves, has happened when he's been rich with Tom Brady. He had money. And as hard as it is to manage money when you have a lot of it, not that I would know, but I'm just saying these rich, super rich people, millions and millions of dollars, managing money, more problems. Bill Belichick was the master. When you were in the spotlight, when you were the king, that's where he made his name. The Patriot way, suffocating the media and not letting any distractions in. That's a masterful stroke for somebody that's trying to keep their team, that has a lot of people looking at them and shining lights on them in line. That's what you want to do if you're Bill Belichick in that spot. Masterful. That's part of the Patriot way. The smaller deals, the signings, the undrafted free agents who made big plays in Super Bowls because the quarterback helped put them in that situation. Malcolm Butler. You know, Malcolm Butler doesn't make the play to win the Super Bowl if Tom Brady doesn't help them come back from 10 down in the fourth quarter. Historic. You know, all those other signings he made. Wes Welker and different draft picks that he made that really were able to shine on big stages because he got there, and in large part because of Tom Brady. I get that. That's an argument. But don't sit here and try to tell me that somebody else is better than Bill Belichick and should come into New England. Gary, my man, what does he say? That they already, the Krafts, have someone in mind. Get out of here. They don't have, there's nobody else they want building this team. Look, Bill Belichick, even if he leaves, even if he retires, I still feel like he's going to have a hand in building this team. And Bill Belichick should. Bill Belichick is the guy for the job. There is nobody else. He still enjoys. Maybe if Bill had softened up on us and if he really looked lazy, like a fat cat, and he was just in it to collect a check or something like that. He is not even close to that. This guy's still good. What was that photo that they had last year, a few months ago? I don't know if it was before COVID. Everything's a mess. But it was a picture of him in East Timbuktu, Tennessee State, working out some guy nobody's heard of in the rain. Okay? That's a guy that still appreciates the grind. And when you combine that fact, a guy that wants it, the guy that he's willing to do all the dirty things, the little things, with a guy that's had as much success as he had. Has he had a great draft has he had great drafts the last 5-7 years? No, he hasn't had great drafts. But there's been things that have gone on. They've drafted high up in the draft. You're not getting top 10 picks. Sometimes they don't have a first round pick. And by the way, this year's draft class, they look pretty good. We'll see. But Chase Winovich, honestly, if you want to criticize Bill Belichick, I think I have found myself this year criticizing him more over some of the coaching than really the GM stuff. Look, N'Keal Harry, I wish he was better. He just, everything about him is clunky, and I can't get on board, and now things are falling down in the studio. Who did that? But I don't know why, you know, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, everybody throws these names out. I'm not convinced any of these guys would have succeeded in New England because I think it's a systemic problem here. I don't know. I have nothing to back that up. I don't see it. I can't envision another guy coming in and just, you know, DK Metcalf, who was raw as it was coming out of Ole Miss, coming in and just poof, you know, he's the next Calvin Johnson here in New England. I just could not see that happen. So, Bill Belichick, I wish there was something. Yeah, I wish he drafted a Pro Bowler in the last handful of years. But don't make it sound like, look, he hasn't had these big superstars. But don't make it sound like he has made picks that haven't really contributed in the most meaningful ways you can in football. You know, 2013, he drafted Jamie Collins. Okay, that was the last Pro Bowler. But 2014, he drafted James White, who was a Super Bowl hero. He also drafted in 2017, Malcolm Mitchell, at a position where he sucks. He can't draft. But that guy actually contributed and made catches in the Super Bowl. Okay? Super Bowl. So, you know, it hasn't been good. And I do not like Bill Belichick. He's done a little bit too much pointing to the historical scoreboard this year. And hey, look, we're referencing what he's done, and there's a lot of teams that would love to have some of the problems we've had, and he's right. I just don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about that stuff. What's next, you know? But he's made draft picks that have been good. He's made JCJ, he finds these, he can't draft wide receivers at all, but he can sign undrafted free agents like nobody's business. Free agent cornerbacks, that is. I mean, JC Jackson, Malcolm, all these guys, that guy Brian, who, by the way, that everybody went nuts over that pick he had against the Rams. I mean, whatever. It was a bad throw. If that throw was on target, it was just, you know, he touches him down. Whatever. Hooray. But not to take anything away from that guy who I'd barely heard of before that play was made. Bill Belichick is the right man for this job, for this rebuild. Okay? He and another guy he drafted, Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay? Jimmy Garoppolo, one of few men this century who was a second-round pick or later who has started a game at quarterback in the Super Bowl. Now, there's some other unimpressive names on that list. Nick Foles, even though he beat you. But you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, Foles didn't play the whole season. Who knows what would have happened in Philly if Foles had played the whole season? Might not have been as good, might not have been there. Garoppolo led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick drafted him. I mean, they had weapons. They were able to draft wide receivers in San Francisco. Debo Samuel, that helped. They had a running game. There were a lot of things that worked in Jimmy G's favor. But he drafted a guy, quarterback, in a second-round situation that started a Super Bowl. So you want to tell me that the guy's hopeless and that you want to bring somebody else in? Who are you bringing in? I mean, who do you want? Who do you want? Okay, do you want a guy that can really build a team? You want Bill Polian? That guy could build a team, baby. He built the Buffalo Bills into the best runner-up situation in North American in the history of North American sports. Bills were awesome. He built those Colts teams, right? Bill Polian, baby, built the Colts teams that underachieved year after year, underachieved. Okay, they got one Super Bowl. All of those years, they got one. But Bill Polian built them. You know, he could build a team from the ground. I want a drafter. Is that what you're looking for? Is that who you want? I mean, I don't know what we're talking about. Think back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers almost 20 years ago when it was Tony Dungy there and John Gruden. Now, who's better? Who's a better coach all time, Tony Dungy, John Gruden? I don't know. You know, that's actually a decent debate. We're not going to have it. But John Gruden, you know, Tony Dungy had all these great players. And in Gary's article, he's talking about how Bill Belichick won that first Super Bowl and they were, you know, none of those guys were his. Bill Belichick won that Super Bowl. Think about John Gruden. Tony Dungy got fired because he had all this talent but couldn't get them over the hump. John Gruden is celebrated because he was able to go into Tampa in his first year and win a Super Bowl. So he's celebrated. Now, I get Tony Dungy won later with the Colts. But Gruden found a way to do what Tony Dungy couldn't do. Win with that talent. So he's celebrated, but Bill Belichick, we you know, knock him down a peg because, oh, he didn't draft Ty Law. And he didn't draft Lawyer Malloy, or he didn't draft Willie McGinnis. No. He was able to win with them. And he drafted Tom Brady. Now you want to say, Gary, it doesn't count. That doesn't count. Well, that might not count. Fine. He drafted him. Doesn't count. But you know what counts? The fact that he kept him on the roster as the fourth quarterback, which never happens. Unprecedented almost. But he kept him because he saw something. So, yeah, I'm going to trust Bill Belichick. If I have to ride with somebody on how to do this rebuild, I'm going to trust Bill Belichick. Okay? Now, he's made mistakes. I still can't get over. I'm pissed still. And I'm trying to be jolly. This is Christmas. But when I think back to the trade with the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, giving a 2 for Jimmy Garoppolo was unacceptable. Unacceptable. Sam Bradford went for a 1. And he sucked. He never even flashed. And he went for a 1, and you gave away a 2. You gave him away for a 2, Jimmy G. I'll never get over that. I'll never, ever get over that trade, and that was a disaster. But still, I want Bill Belichick making this rebuild. I want him to do the rebuild, okay? Because that's what I, you know, there's nobody better to do the rebuild, and he still wants it. He still likes the grind. So, yeah, I don't. If you disagree, feel free to call in. We can talk about it. You know, 617-779-7937 or text 37937. This is WEEI Late Night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back to WEI Late Night. Mark Dondero with you until 1 a.m. Has it started snowing yet? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Shout out to all the men and women out there plowing our roads. Your work is very much appreciated. I'll be with you until 1 a.m. hanging out. Okay. Look, we're going to talk. The whole Bill Belichick thing, you know, the expectations for the Patriots are certainly going to change. And I'm kind of transitioning now to the Tommy Kern piece where, you know, I know it's going to be different. And I think everybody does. It's not going to be the Patriots that we've seen in AFC championship games year after year. It's just not. But I do think that they can turn it around quickly. You know, a quarterback, here's the problem. You have to change the expectation. The expectation is not going to be the Super Bowl. But if you're talking about a turnaround would represent, hey, competing for the division championship and going to the playoffs. Because after this year, if they don't make it, they're not going to make it. The path. They're not going to make it. If they can turn it around next year and get to the playoffs, find a quarterback, that's a turnaround. Okay, that's a turnaround. And then we'll talk about, you know, then you go from there. Then you talk about maybe a Super Bowl one day, maybe a Super Bowl next year. Not next year, but, you know, maybe a Super Bowl in the near future. But you can't even have those conversations anymore. You need to worry about a turnaround that represents a trip back to the playoffs where you could actually, like, make a run. And they could do that. That could happen fast. That could happen really quickly if they get a quarterback. And here's another thing I don't want to hear anymore, okay? I don't want to hear about this. The word development, developing, okay, I don't want to hear it. Now, maybe the Patriots are different than other teams. I get that they're, you know, it's a complex, it could be a complex system. It's hard to grasp the offensive system. But I don't want to hear about people, the development of this guy or that guy. Look, in today's NFL, guys who are good, you know it quickly. If Jarrett Stidham could play, I don't want to hear the development. No, if he could play, he'd be in there, and he'd be succeeding. Okay, these guys don't take long. It's a lot more rare now to see a guy have to put on the old ball cap and sit behind somebody, and then, you know, once they get their chance, they develop a few years, and then they finally break through. With the way college offenses operate nowadays, these kids come in and play, and they're ready to go, and that goes for wide receivers too. Okay, they come in, and they can play right away. So I don't need to see Jarrett Stidham. He obviously can't play. Okay, Bill Belichick talking about, well, we're not at that point. You're never going to be at that point. He sucks. You'd play him. You would have played him in Kansas City. Now, I wanted to see him. There's a picture online of him with a crown and on a throne. King Stidham, I was nicknaming him. But he's not going to be called that because he sucks. We would have known if he could play. Doesn't take long at all. Not now. Not with the sophistication of these college offenses. All right, let's take a call. Mike in Boston wants to talk about the Bill Belichick rebuild. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, I got one thing to say. I definitely agree with you with the Stidham thing, just for one reason. All right, we got to remember, there's a practice field. If that guy's not good enough on that practice field, he ain't taking Cam Newton's spot.
Correct.
We all know that. Now, Belichick, he's going to go with the best opportunity to win each game. And we know that we've been in every game this year. And you can throw out the San Fran game and that Rams game because that's two real bad performances, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, every game we've been right in there, right? Cam Newton fumbled that ball at Buffalo. I mean, Seattle at the 3-yard line, can't punch it in.
Denver, they were on the final drive. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got the COVID issues. You lose four in a row, and there goes the season right there, you can say. But let's look at the Edelman thing. If he's here, do we win one of those two games that we've lost out of the good games? Not the Rams game, not the San Fran game.
Do we win one of those two games? Yes, you do.
All right. So are we above 500 at that point? Are we in the playoff run still?
Yeah.
All right, so I got another question. Would you consider
keep them coming,
this
baby. Let's go.
A rebuild year? Would you consider this a rebuild year?
Yes. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, left. Yes, it's a rebuild year.
All right, so now let's remember. If this is a rebuild year, who else do you know going 6-7 at this current moment with this team at a rebuild year? You had Browns at a rebuild year going 0-16, 1-16. You get Baker Mayfield. He gets 7 wins. The fans ain't happy enough. Look at the Browns now. That's how you rebuild. Okay? We're on our way, possibly, if we can win out. Let's just say we do. 9-7. That's not a good rebuild year. I know we don't have to make the playoffs, even if we're one and done. Tom Brady made the playoffs last year, 12-4, with the same team, one and done. Did you have issues with that? I'm not coming at you. I know you probably agree with me.
No, I'm with you, and thanks for the call, Mike. I just think it's a little more complicated than Mike's making it. Okay, I think it is a good rebuild year, 9-7. I mean, but you're kind of in competition with Tom Brady, so there's an aspect to that because Brady's going to the playoffs. The Bucs are, you know, the Bucs as of now, some people have as Super Bowl contenders. I think, right? I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I don't, but some people might. You know. The talent, if they get hot, maybe they can. They're not going to win the Super Bowl based on how they've played against good teams. They have to go on the road. A million things would have to come together for that to happen. But I just think the Patriots fandom, myself included, expected more this year. So I am upset, but then I'm trying to find other ways to be, you know, a realist. 9-7 in a rebuild year. I also think the definition of a rebuild year is changing, and people have had a hard time accepting that. For example, a rebuild year under Tom Brady was different than this because they've had rebuild years under Tom Brady where they were still number one in the power rankings. You know, I remember back when their defense sucked in the early part of the last decade, 2010. I mean, you knew that wasn't a team that was Super Bowl caliber because we'd seen Super Bowl caliber defenses, and I know the league changed. There's more offense, but that wasn't a team. They were rebuilding that defense. And they'd still be number one in the power rankings because Brady was so good and the offense was so prolific. Okay? But what was being discussed right there on the call with Mike, that isn't exactly what I was talking about when I started the show. It's about Belichick, the GM, and being the best person for the rebuild. And he is. And like I alluded to a little while ago, I think I've had more of an issue with Bill Belichick, the head coach, this year, I think. Yeah, no, I know. Because the coach, look, I'll give you a stat. Chase Winovich, okay? Now, I tweeted this during the last game at Mark Dondero. It didn't mean anything. I mean, at that point, I was pissed because he wasn't on the field. And when he's on the field, it felt like good things happened. But here's the stat. Chase Winovich, when he's played greater than 50% of the snaps in games, the Patriots are 6-3, giving up 20 points per game. When he's played less than 50% of the snaps in games, they are 0-4, giving up almost 25 points per game. So it feels like it matters when he's in the game. Now, I know he's not some world beater, but I like his game. He brings some energy. He's made some plays. And the numbers back it up. So, you know, you're going to have to think, and I think also in terms of Belichick, the coach, and this isn't just Belichick. It's more of a Josh McDaniels thing. You know, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, they both have a hand in the offense. And I happen to think that Cam Newton is better at throwing the ball in the middle of the field with the intermediate routes. You know, not just the little dink and dunk pass plays. I'm talking down the field, down the seam, the comebacks and the in cuts and the things a little bit further down the field. Not deep balls, down the field, intermediate, middle of the field. I think he can make those throws. He has made those throws this year. Now, I know the weapons and the separation and all that, but I think Newton can make those throws. And the Patriots, I mean, for whatever reason, we don't see him throwing the ball in those windows that often. That's a coaching thing. Now, who knows? You know, if they really featured that type of passing game, who knows? I don't think it would have been a game changer in terms of the entire season, but it might have been different in a game or two. So that's another example of how I was let down by the coaching this year, more so that I wish they had a better answer the last few times they drafted in the first round. Sony Michel, I'm not as down on Sony Michel as a lot of people, but I don't, you know, I'm not a running back guy. I don't think you need a taker. I mean, they've had undrafted free agents rush for 1,000 yards, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Where was Damian Harris drafted? I'm not a running back guy. I don't want a running back in the first round. You know, I don't even want, you know, top five Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel. I just don't want it. They don't last long enough. You just don't want it. So I didn't like that pick. But Bill Belichick is this guy. He's the guy that you want to do the rebuild with. Who else are you going to get? I mean, seriously, who else is there to get? So I don't know. Gary, the article just, I couldn't, for crying out loud, Gary. But I miss Gary. Miss seeing Gary. I mean, I don't see him. I've never even met him in person. I saw him at Davio's once, but that was about it. Didn't go up to him. But, Bill Belichick's the guy. He has to be the guy because, you know, despite some of the shortcomings, and do I think he's always done what's best for the football team? No. I don't think the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, the second round pick, I don't think that was best for the football team. I don't know. Hey, he's earned it, but is Steve Belichick and Brian Belichick, are they best for the football team having them on the coaching staff? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I think it's a question you could ask. Are there better coaches out there than his sons? I don't know. Maybe not. I hope not. I'm glad he gets to spend more time with them. That's great. I just don't know if, you know, that maybe that isn't the best thing for the team. I don't know. So, Belichick is who I want to do this rebuild. Because I think when push comes to shove, he still has a lot left in the tank, and he knows what he's doing. And there's nobody else out there, because this is an inexact science. Okay, and by the way, can I get a little help from Nick Caserio? Because this guy's, at least before, he was always being brought up. GM jobs, Texans, Caserio, we're getting lifetime contracts because he's such an asset. I don't know what if he's as a part of the process as Bill Belichick makes him out to be, then he needs some blame too. Forget about the GM jobs. I need to get some blame on Nick Caserio because I know he's down there on the field at the pro days throwing to the receivers, you know, himself. He's getting a good look at them. It's good. But they suck at drafting them. I mean, that graphic on the Fox show the other night, it sucked. So you gotta, Nick Caserio deserves some blame here too. Bill Belichick won't blame him, and I appreciate that. He's not Bruce Arians. I mean, Bruce Arians, crying out loud, he'd have him so far under the bus, he'd have tire tracks on his face. But Belichick is the guy. There's nobody else that would come in here and do a better job than Bill Belichick in terms of turning around this team. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you want to talk about Patriots, we can talk about that. I want to get into the Boston Celtics. Okay, there is one thing that could make this Celtics season a success outside of them just going to the NBA Finals, and I'll tell you what that is when we get back. This is WEEI Late Night, 93.7.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on Late Night, WEEI. Mark Dondero with you till 1 a.m. Well, let's take a call. We'll talk to Jeff in Denver. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, great, Mark. Good show. Hey, I just wanted to take exception to one thing that you mentioned. This is regarding this year being a rebuild year. I really feel that it should have been a rebuild year, but it wasn't. Belichick put some Band-Aids on a weak team and actually tried to win instead of rebuild, in my opinion. If he was rebuilding, I think he would have traded Gilmore in the summer for a number one pick when his value was sky high with being the defensive player of the year. I think he would have, he wouldn't have paid McCourty and Tooney top dollar to keep them around and instead kept their cap and carried it forward. He could have traded both and maybe even Edelman, that was now 35 years old. He would have played Stidham all year, along with the other newbies like Keane and Asiasi and Infinity and some of the others to see what they've got. But he didn't. And instead, he brought in a broken quarterback with his, on his last leg in his career, and in desperation actually tried to win. So in that regard, I feel like this year was a wasted year for the Pats.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. But thanks for the call, Jeff. You know, I think the way to classify it is it ended up being a rebuild year, and I think that's what we're calling it because they ended up not making the playoffs. And I know mathematically they're not eliminated yet, but no, it's a good point. They tried to win. I don't think they approached it as a rebuild year. And maybe that's what was necessary, big picture. But I think what Jeff is talking about is this was a year where they tried to win, but because they didn't, people like me are just classifying it as a rebuild year. They have to because they didn't win. But no, they certainly tried to. That's not, you can't argue that point. They tried to win this year. And honestly, I was surprised they didn't trade Stephon Gilmore at the trade deadline, especially with where they were. But they kept him. They tried to win. And they just couldn't because they didn't have the players. I don't know what Bill Belichick thought he was going to get out of Cam Newton. I thought he was going to get more out of Cam Newton. You know, I saw something in that Seattle game. I know it was the ultimate mirage. But in that, I mean, it's hard to think. We all watched that game Monday night. A lot of people did. It was arguably the game of the year in the NFL. Ravens at Cleveland Browns. It's amazing to think that once upon a time this year, the Patriots played in that game with Cam Newton throwing it all over the yard, and they came back and it was high scoring, and it was a classic. I mean, I was riding high in that game. There were people talking. I was not one of them, but there were people talking about how stupid do these other teams look? The Bears, they didn't sign Cam Newton. Should we give them the max deal, $30 million? After that game, I mean, that conversation happened. So yeah, Jeff. It wasn't a rebuild because they tried to win. And if your definition of a rebuild is they didn't try to win, well, then I guess it was a rebuild. Or it wasn't a rebuild. I don't even know. But what I'm saying is this year they tried to win, but because they didn't, it was a rebuild. That's the way I'm classifying it. Now we kind of, I know it's late in the season, but we do what we got to do to try to figure it out next year. And I think they can do it if they get a quarterback. And ideally, they get one in the draft. That's how you do it, ideally. Now, I don't know who they're going to pick, you know, because they're here we go again. Mired in mediocrity. I think that might be a problem, Bill Belichick. I mean, you wouldn't trade it, but Bill Belichick is so good as a coach, historically. You're always sort of good, even when you're not good. So you're not at the top of the draft where it's easier to get a top-flight quarterback. And by the way, everybody that, you know, that criticizes Bill Belichick's draft picks, when you're drafting at the top of the draft, the Miami Dolphins, you know, those prospects are a lot more can't miss than when you're drafting every year annually at 24 or above. You know, it's a lot easier. Hey, guess what? Guess what? If you make me the Jets GM, I'm going to get it right at the draft. You know, I'm going to pick that guy. I know who to pick. I'm going to pick that guy from Clemson. Trevor Lawrence is a good player. I got it. You know, you don't need this highly educated football savant to make a pick at one or two. Or, I mean, I forget exactly what the order was last year, but when the Dolphins, when they made their picks at five, Tua, I mean, they knew that Tua was good. And they, if they wanted a quarterback, they needed a quarterback, they picked him. So it's a lot different when you're picking at five. So Bill Belichick, I mean, look, if they get a higher draft pick, they'll have a better chance of getting a better player. Everybody knows that. But this was a rebuild because they sucked. They didn't make the playoffs, so it turned into a rebuild. You know, I want to get to the Celtics. You know, they ain't rebuilding. The Boston Celtics are not rebuilding. And we'll take this into the next hour. But the Celtics this year, and look, the first thing I'll say, the preseason game, what am I supposed to say? Now, this is going to kill me, and I can't believe this is the first point I'm going to make, and a lot of people aren't going to, and I can hear my man Ben Kitchen, he's laughing at me right now. But I, you know, Taco Fall went into that game early. And I don't expect big things from Taco Fall, but Tac, my man. You know, there was a play where Marcus Smart shot a three, and you're in there. And I'm thinking, like, this guy, he wants it. You know, he was a late round pick, whatever he was, second round pick. He wants it. He wants to make a name for himself in the NBA and make the team and play and contribute. And I'm watching him, and the shot goes up, and Taco just gazes at it. He's just looking at it, and he's walking back, and he's looking. He's not going. What are you doing, Toc? Where's the want to? Where's the motor? This guy's trying to make the team. I know he's like a fun thing, and everybody likes him, and I love him. You know, he's a fun thing. But I was hoping that he'd compete for a part of the team, you know, a spot where you could get him in the game because he's 7'11". You know, the tall guy. It's basketball. It's a good thing. Get the tall guy on the court. But that wasn't going to help the Celtics get to where they, you know, they want to go. Or what makes that Celtics team have a successful season? We all know they need to go to the NBA Finals. That's sort of been the bar. That's where we want them to go. But there's another thing that could make the Celtics successful this year outside of a trip to the Finals, and I don't think they're going to go to the Finals. I just don't think they're talented enough. If you do, give us a call, 617-779-7937. I just don't think they're talented enough to go to the finals. Because I see what's going on in the Eastern Conference. I see what's going on around the league with the Lakers, and they're stacked. And the Celtics, I mean, it's about superstars. But a thing that could happen this year for the Celtics, and a lot of people expect it to, if Jason Tatum is an MVP candidate, that is a successful season for the Celtics. That is a win. He doesn't have to win it. And I know he got one vote last year. That doesn't count. I'm talking about he's in the thick of the race for the MVP. If Jason Tatum is in the thick of the race for the MVP, that is a successful season for the Boston Celtics. Because this guy, look, Tatum, I love Tatum. Okay, I love this guy. And he looks, what do you say, he put on 10 pounds. I don't give any credence to the height. I don't care. He's 6'10 now. It means nothing to me. I don't buy it. Whatever. But he did put on some pounds, it looks like. So I'm for that. But Jason Tatum, if he can be an MVP candidate, that's huge. Because teams with young guys in the NBA, especially young guys who are the guy, if you know what I mean, Tatum is the guy on the Celtics, they don't win. They don't win the championship. And when you look around the NBA, you know, God knows who's coming out of college this year. Who knows? I mean, LaMelo Ball, he might be all right. He was the number whatever pick, and there was no, I'm not worried about the prospects that just entered the league. But Jason Tatum, that guy, when you look around the league, guys around his age, how many guys are better than him? One? Luka? Maybe? Maybe Jamal Murray? I don't know. For me, it's Tatum and Luka. Luka would be one. Tatum was eventually going to age out. I mean, Kevin Durant is older. He's got a bad injury history now. Difficult injuries coming back from this year with the Achilles. He's eventually going to get older. All these things are going to happen, and Jason Tatum will be the guy who's right there at the top of the league. Once he's got James Harden, he's going to get older. And, you know, I don't know if that was the body he just put on display in that picture I saw the other day. I mean, I don't know what was going on there. You know, he did not look fit, did not look like an athlete there. I'm sure he's got a good, you know, he's fine. He's ready to go. Whatever. He's going to be older. Some of the best players in the league are going to be older. Jason Tatum's going to be the guy. If he can be an MVP, because you need superstars, now, later, you need superstars. If he can be an MVP-type player, doesn't have to win it. Just get yourself into that, legitimately into that conversation, and he'll be. And that's the good win for the Celtics this year. And if you want to throw in Jaylen Brown becoming an all-star, I'm for that too, because that would help things. If he could be a bona fide all-star, not a superstar, just get me to the all-star level Jaylen Brown. They didn't play well in the preseason game. That means nothing. But naturally, I think it was Gary Washburn that talked about this today, and I totally agree. If the guys in the preseason suck, well, it's just preseason and they're just warming up. But if a guy is good, well, that's a prognostication of glory, future glory. So that's kind of what we saw last night in the Celtics game against the Sixers. All right, when we get back, I want to just mention the Giannis Antetokounmpo extension and why that is a good situation for the Boston Celtics. We'll do that next. More basketball and an exam. We're going to take an exam. Patriots, Celtics, different questions. We'll get to all of that. This is WEEI Late Night 93.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.